This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A big bang to reignite London's banking sector, but not everybody's happy. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being back with us. Yeah, the UK government says it's one of the biggest financial shakeups here in more than 30 years and claims it will propel London's banking and financial services sector back to prominence. But many people remember this.
Britain's big banks under sustained attack on the markets. As we go on air, there are crisis talks about how to stabilise the banking system.
The 2008 financial crash, in part driven by risk-taking at the world's biggest banks, the regulators felt overstepped the mark. In response, new rules were introduced for banks aimed at limiting those risks to people's cash. But today's plans would see much of that rolled back in the UK. The BBC's business editor, Simon Jack, told us just what the government is trying to achieve.
London has seen its crown as the sort of unparalleled preeminent financial centre in Europe take a few knocks. After Brexit, you saw some European shares. The dealing went to Amsterdam. We briefly saw Paris become the most valuable stock market in Europe. So what the Chancellor of the Exchequer here is trying to do is to sort of weaken or loosen or modernise some of the regulations that were brought in after the great financial crisis to try and make London a bit more competitive. In particular, there are some pretty tough rules regarding individuals, getting them over from elsewhere in the world, mainly the US. That process for senior executives can take months, and also some rules about how they can be held personally liable, bans, fines for misconduct. And a lot of that was seen as putting people off. They were very popular here in the UK. A lot of people thought that there wasn't enough personal accountability for the mistakes that saw taxpayers have to bail out their banks.
The type of things that listeners will remember were brought in the US too in the Dodd-Frank regulations.
Correct.
In these regulations in the UK too, were rules about retail investment arms of banks, so the money that me or you have for mortgages or loans, and their more risky investment arms. There's changes coming to that.
That's right. They ring-fenced, as you say, the riskier operations where they're gambling with their own money and separating that legally and financially from the day-to-day stuff that you and I would recognise. And they would have to set up separate pools of shock-absorbing capital for each different division. And what they're saying is that while that is appropriate for the really big banks, there are a bunch of middle-sized banks who really don't do that risk-taking stuff, who had to do that as well, and that didn't make much sense. It meant they were deprived of the kind of money that they would otherwise have been able to lend into the real economy. So I think that will be broadly seen as that's okay. But one of the most contentious things, I think, is they want to get the regulator to have a mandate to promote competitiveness with the rest of the world. And that's got a few raised eyebrows saying, is the regulator really going to go around and say to a bank, you're being too cautious, you know, take a few more risks? That's a commercial matter. But in the end, I was talking to a big hedge fund manager here the other day and said that London had become a Jurassic Park in financial market terms. High growth companies were heading to Asia, to the US, and London had become a bit of a backwater.
The BBC's business editor, Simon Jack, thanks so much for speaking to us.
You bet. Thanks, Will.
Well, let's take a look at how the markets have reacted to that news now. Not much is the answer from the wider FTSE 100, but shares in some of those retail banks Simon mentioned are up slightly. Barclays up 0.3%, Lloyds Banking Group up 0.4%, and NatWest up 0.8%, so it does seem a little bit like a wait-and-see mode on those regulations from investors today. Let's take you to Munich now, where the biggest fraud trial in German financial history has kicked off into the collapse payment company Wirecard. The company's former chief executive, Markus Braun, and two other senior execs face multiple charges over the spectacular fall of a company which had dazzled the German business and political world. That was until billions of dollars were found to be missing from its accounts. All three men deny any wrongdoing, as the BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin explained.
Wirecard was forced to admit in 2020 that this sort of almost $2 billion was just not there. Essentially, a lot of what was making Wirecard look so good allegedly was simply fictitious. There are so many allegations here. The money laundering is one big issue, going right back to the mid-2000s, according to prosecutors. But what people are focused on right now is this thing that's easier to understand, where essentially the allegation is that particularly in the Asian operation, the accounts were simply fictitious and that phantom revenue was invented in order to mislead creditors and investors. And this, of course, led to a meteoric rise from a tiny startup to one of Germany's most valuable companies. It was worth almost $30 billion at one point. It was worth more than Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank at one point, all of which is incredible. And I think the longer this went on, the more people wanted to believe in it and the more people had money invested in this. And this is one of the scandals that's now coming out.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness. Now, how'd you fancy a trip to the moon? Yeah, don't you feel like you're there listening to that music? It's the dream of the Japanese billionaire Yuzuku Maezawa, who's announced the names of eight people who'll also join him for a trip doing just that. He's bought every seat for a lunar voyage in the 2023 on a SpaceX rocket that's still under development, as the BBC's Nick Marsh explains.
This wasn't Yuzuku Maezawa's initial plan. 2 years ago, he wanted to find a girlfriend on a reality TV show and fly her to the moon. That idea was quietly dropped. And now, out of a supposed 1 million applicants, his celebrity crew is confirmed. It will include the South Korean pop star, Top, the Japanese-American DJ Steve Aoki, and Indian actor Dev Joshi.
I can't miss this opportunity. My soul is... it's begging for this. It needs this.
I don't know what it's going to do to me emotionally. I guess that's part of the adventure.
I think that's going to be a huge encouragement to all the kids that we serve.
Though they may still have to wait a while. The flight is scheduled for next year, but still hasn't received regulatory approval.
That's the BBC's Nick Marsh with that report. Time now for our CEO Secrets series, where we bring you the inside tricks of those who have made it big. This week, the BBC's Dougal Shaw has been talking to the British hip-hop artist and entrepreneur Krept, one half of the rap duo Krept and Conan.
No matter how big or small the opportunity, make sure you over-deliver. I can give several examples of when we've over-delivered and that has benefited us in the long run. Big fashion brand that we worked with, you know, they had very little expectation of us. They gave us a few deliverables. We decided we're going to go above and beyond. But we made sure we done double, triple the deliverables, and that turned into a longer lasting relationship.
As part of that endorsement deal, Krept and Conan would wear the fashion label at things like concerts, giving the fashion brand exposure. But that wasn't the only time that Krept realised you need to make the most of your chances.
From getting small radio opportunities, over-delivering on that, making sure that's the best possible bit of content they had, special guests, whatever it was. And that turned into us getting an opportunity to have our own TV show. And that was nowhere near the intention or starting plans. Yeah, man, like I said, always over-deliver.
I'm the BBC's Dougal Shaw for Marketplace.
Krept and Dougal, that's a double act I would watch. You can check out all our CEO secret series on the business page of our website, bbc.com/news. With the Marketplace Global Update from the BBC World Service, I'm Will Bain. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.